Good morning. This is Becky Spieth, direct sales specialist and a Christian direct seller, and we are still talking about prospering God's way. We've talked about so many components about why it's important to really understand that God does want us to prosper, and that it's important that we put Him first, and that we're supposed to study and really learn about what His Word says so that we can prosper, and how we're supposed to walk in fellowship with others, and the importance of prayer has to do with our prosperity, as well as how we're supposed to work. And so some people just think they can just stand out in the middle of the field or in the middle of the yard and just say, Lord, give me prosperity, but they don't understand that He prospers us when we work, and He's given us the ability to create wealth. Now today I want to talk to you a little bit about tithe, because tithe is so important, because this is actually one of the only places that God says to test Him and to try Him, and He will perform, and He's going to show mighty things. But let's dig into this, because I want to make sure that we go over the definitive truth set forth in God's Word about the tithe and make sure we're rightly dividing His Word. Genesis 14:20 says, "And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered His enemies into my hands. And he," who is Abraham, or actually at that point it was Abram, "gave him," which was Melchizedek the priest, "tithes of 10% of all, not part." So one of the things here that I want to point out, that there's a few details here, that the tithe is 10%, and that's 10% of what comes in, not one penny less. If you only tithe 9.5%, you're really robbing God of His rightful due that we're supposed to give back to Him. And we're supposed to also give Him 10% right off the top. It's absolutely His. That's what we owe. And that's why people, a lot of times, will get poorer and poorer when they keep the tithe or they stop giving the tithe back to the Lord. When we fail to adhere to the reasonable tithe of just 10%, we're stepping on the hose of God's abundance. It's kind of like we're putting a kink in the hose. Can we be blessed? Yes, but it's not going to have that full-on power until we get the kink out. Malachi 3:7 through 9 says, "Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them." And a lot of us think, well, we're doing everything we can for the Lord, but we may not be tithing, right? So this is what he says, you know, "From the days of your fathers, you've gone away from my ordinances and haven't kept them." He says, "Return unto me, and I'll return unto you," said the Lord of hosts. But then you said, "Wherein shall we return? We thought we were always with you. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me." But you say, "Wherein have we robbed you, God?" His answer was, "In the tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation." Now, if we don't pay our tithe, the 10% right off the top, we're robbing God. And I know none of us ever intend to do that. But that's what the Word says. However, if we do pay our tithe, we'll get a blessing. We won't even have enough room to receive it. Now, that's what I call prosperity. Let's read in Malachi 3:10, the next verse. "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove to me herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now, I don't know about you, but that gets me pretty excited. And if I only have to give him 10% of what he gives me right off the top, and I like to do that anyways because it reminds me right at the very beginning so I don't forget, so I'll just do it right at the first, as soon as it comes in, then he's going to give me so much that I'm not going to have enough room to contain it. You know, this is the only time in the Bible that God invites us to put him to the test. And that's when he's talking about tithes. It's almost as if he would know how we would really feel, right, about money. And it tells us, you know, that he wants us to prove him. So I'm going to challenge each one of you. I want you to prove it, have him prove himself. I want you to start giving your tithe, your 10% of what comes in. And God is guaranteeing that the 9/10 with his blessing will go much further than the 10/10 without his blessing. Guaranteed to get your foot off of that hose. Now, I can tell you that this is the truth, absolutely the truth. I tithe all the time. I mean, it's just not it's a non-negotiable for me. Every single time I needed new clients, I would also put in a seed offering. And do you know that God would bless me? But even like the other day, we went over to Home Depot and we had to get some stuff to repair the house, but then I wanted to start planting some flowers. And I started looking because I'm very, very frugal about what I put in my yard. I love it to be filled with flowers, so I have to be very careful with my budget. And so I looked to see if they had anything on sale, and I asked a clerk, and they didn't have anything on sale. And so I just looked, and I was kind of in my mind's eye mapping out what my flower beds would look like and things when I would have all the money to purchase. And it's not that I didn't have the money, but I wanted to make sure that I was being a wise steward. So anyways, so we decided that we would just go and we'd go over to Lowe's, and we have another favorite greenhouse that we like to go to. And so we were starting to walk towards the car. As we were walking to the car, they were rolling up these big carts of the most beautiful ferns and big vines and all the really expensive flowers that were like $30 and up per pot. And as we started to walk up, the gentleman said, "I don't know if you're interested in this or not." He said, "But these just came in on the truck. We've got three times the amount we ordered, and we're selling all of these for $5. We filled three shopping carts and spent $30. It was amazing. We had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of big, huge, beautiful, well-developed, amazing-looking flowers. And I know that it was the blessing of God. And I believe in all my heart that it was just God saying, "Here, I'm opening up my windows of heaven just for you." And if we would have been a minute earlier, we would have missed it. But we were right on time for what God had for us with his blessings. It also tells us in Malachi 3, if we continue to read, 3:11-12, "And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy all the fruits of your ground, neither shall the vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts, and all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts." Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but we experienced this for a little bit, and I'm just going to be very transparent. All of a sudden, like, we were just having, like, everything go wrong. Everything was breaking in the car. We were getting sick. There was house repairs. There were all kinds of things that was just like the enemy was coming in. And every time we would get a paycheck or we would get money coming in or even a little bit extra, it would just have to go for something. And we couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. And I asked my husband, I said, "John, I don't understand," because he takes care of the family finances. I take care of the business finances. And I said, "I don't understand. It's almost as if we've stopped tithing because the enemy's allowed to come in and destroy and to take from us every single time." His face went white. He had stopped paying the tithe. He felt that we had a lot of extra expenses coming in and coming up, and he just felt that we couldn't afford it, and he knew that God would forgive him and understand. But what happened was the enemy was able to overtake us. I mean, we had three car accidents in about a month and a half. I mean, there were just one thing after another. So trust God. He can do so much more with, if you give him that 10%, with the 9/10 that you have left, he will bless you abundantly. You'll have new hostesses. You'll have new customers. You will have new business. And you've blocked the enemy from being able to devour anything good for you. So a lot of people ask, so I understand that, but what do I need to do as far as like pay my tithe? Where do I pay the tithe? And you pay your tithe to the place where you get your spiritual food. That would be your local church or wherever your local ministry is. Now, if you want to give to a TV evangelist or you've got a traveling evangelist or you've got a ministry that you really like or an orphanage or anything else, you can feel free to give an offering, but that's not the tithe. The tithe is the 10%. Right? Now, there's only two things that can negate the tithe. The first one is found in Deuteronomy 14:22. It says, "Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field brings forth year by year." So if you fail to meet the minimum requirement of giving the 10% off the top of your increase, that's going to negate it. Another thing that will negate the tithe is if you give with the wrong heart. When you give and you don't really want to, or you feel like you're forced to. That's going to negate it. Because God wants us to be cheerful givers, right? He wants us to be wanting to give, wanting to serve. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man, according as he's purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You can't tithe or give your tithe or anything else grudgingly and expect God's blessing. God always looks at our hearts first. And if we're not just going through the actions of tithing, you're missing the entire point. The tithe is something that we owe God, and we need to give it to him cheerfully, knowing that the 9/10 that he's already given us is going to be blessed, and it's going to go much further, guaranteed. Also, another verse on this is Proverbs 10:22. It says, the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. So God wants us to be happy. He doesn't want sorrowful givers. Sorry about that. Another principle that I want to talk to you around prosperity is really just is making sure, we talked a little bit about fellowshipping and that kind of thing with other people, but we want to make sure that we're with like-minded individuals that we're fellowshipping with. That's really important. God wants us to be with his people. He wants us to encourage each other. He wants us to be there to help agree and support and build and lift each other up. Matthew 18:19-20 says, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that you will ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. Matthew 18:19-20. So we walk with like-minded believers in the household. It's clearly a part of the recipe of a prosperous Christian. We also need to make sure that we're living within our means. This is vitally important. You know, every believer defines prosperity in their own way, and that's not what I'm here to try to help you determine, is what is being prosperous. That's between you and God. But the one thing that is constant for all true prosperous Christians is that they live within their means. When you live within your means, the burdens and the stress of your liabilities fall away, and you can live a much happier, more fulfilled life, and you're freer to serve the kingdom to every capacity. Romans 13:8 tells us, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled the law. God is really just straight up telling us not to be in debt. One of the biggest causes of Christian distress is debt. Debt is a surefire way of blocking the abundance that God has in store for you. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. There's a few more verses that I want to share with you before we go to our prayer time, just as we kind of wind up and finish up this study that we've had on prospering God's way. Proverbs 28:13 tells us that people who conceal their sin will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. So if you're still struggling financially, I want you to really go before the Lord today and ask him, you know, Lord, is there a sin that I've been concealing, or maybe that I've just pushed down or concealed for so long I can't even see it anymore? Will you reveal it to me? Because I want to be blameless before you, and I know that that could possibly be blocking my prosperity. I want to live in your full mercy. Matthew 25:29 says, to those who will use what they are given, even more will be given to them, and they will have an abundance. So my question for you is, are you really living in what God has for you? Are you being faithful with the little things that he's given you? I know many people will say, oh, Lord, do this big work through me. I'm here. Use me. And they're not willing to be faithful, and they're not willing to serve in the small things. You know, if we're not willing to take out the garbage or clean the toilets or clean up after someone else or serve in the smallest, most insignificant way that receives no recognition, and we're not willing to be faithful there, how can we expect the Lord to use us in big and mighty ways? What are you doing with your talents? Are you burying them by hiding them in your office or maybe behind a text message or behind Facebook? God gives us the secret to abundance here. It says, those who use what they are given, even more will be given, and they'll have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. If you feel like you've just got so much that's always being bled out of you and you can't seem to hang on to anything, this might be a key for you. It also tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing done for the Lord is ever useless. You're ministers in the marketplace. This is what you've been called to do. Are you being strong and immovable? Are you working enthusiastically for the Lord when you're doing those booking calls, when you're doing a vendor event, when you're going and doing a show or a presentation? Are you truly being enthusiastic and doing everything for the Lord? Are you excited and on fire? The last thing I'd like to share with you in regards to God's principles in the Word about being prosperous is we're supposed to give. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you give, it will be given unto you. So if you're a stingy giver, you might not be getting, you might not be getting abundance. You might just be getting back what you've been giving. Given. This is the law of reciprocity. Given, it'll be given to you. How much will be given unto you? Well, how much ever you're giving. God promises that he'll make it be plenty, that he'll press it down, pack it tightly, shake it together, and make it run over when we give with a cheerful heart. Also, the thing that I learned a very long time ago is the amount that I give. God's going to bless it. He's going to multiply that. But if I want to get a lot, I need to give a lot, right? If you want a financial harvest, you have to first at least tithe. We talked about that a minute ago. The seed sown is money. The fruit produced will be what? Money. If you want physical prosperity, you have to give seeds of the physical kind. If you want to be healthier, let's just say, what are you going to sow? Maybe you're going to work out, and maybe you're going to sow seeds of good food. But God will take the seed, and he's going to multiply it just like the tithe. If you want spiritual abundance, you've got to sow spiritual seeds. Pray more, teach more, minister more, give more, win more people to the Lord. When you give, it's going to be given to you. God's going to multiply your spiritual harvest. Deuteronomy 16:17 says, all must give as they are able according to the blessings given to them by the Lord our God. 1 Timothy 6:9 and 18 through 19 says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God. He's their source who richly gives us all that we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for their future so that they may experience true life. Acts 20:35 says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself that says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So I'm going to encourage you to sow seeds of your time, sow seeds of your money, sow seeds in your spiritual growth, and you will prosper. I hope that this series has been a blessing to you. I know we've got several other modules. We've been talking about prosperity for 4 weeks now. I'm so excited because I know that God's planning to prosper you, and he's probably spoken to your heart about many of the things that we spoke about today. I want to go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for the men and women that are on this call and listening to this recording. Lord, these are your children and your kids, and I know that you love us so much. And Lord, I thank you that you just You created us, and you're so mighty and amazing. And you knew how we would think. You knew that we would probably say, you know, I don't know what a tithe is, and I'm not really sure if I should give it, and what if I don't? And you lined up everything in your word in Malachi 3, where you gave us the instructions on what we were supposed to do. And you were even so kind to reprove us and say, you know what, you've been stealing from me. That's why you're not blessed. I want to bless you. This is all you have to do, is to be able to come back with me and receive more blessings. I'm going to bless you. I want to bless you so much that you're not even going to be able to contain it. All you have to do is give me your tithe, one-tenth, and I promise to make the other nine-tenths go way further than it would if you'd kept the tithe. Lord, I ask forgiveness now for any time that we may not have tithed. And Lord, I thank you for this reproof and that you are showing us what we need to do to come back into your fellowship of abundance here. And that not only that you said, you know what, go ahead and test me on this one. And so, Lord, right now we're going to boldly come before you and say, we are going to test you. We are going to count that one-tenth, the very first thing that comes in, we're going to give you it right off the top, and that we know you're going to bless us. And, Lord, we are waiting for that to happen, and we are going to watch, because we know that you are going to press it down. You're going to shake it together. You are going to cause it to run over, and you will cause a blessing. And, Father, I ask forgiveness if we've ever given, whether it's been a financial gift or if it's been of our time, of our energy, of our talents, or any other measure, Lord, if we gave with a grudging heart and we didn't give joyfully, or maybe we didn't work with enthusiasm and excitement, Lord. Lord, I ask now that if there is any hidden sin, anything that's been concealed, that you would bring it to our attention, Lord, so we can ask forgiveness. We can repent and turn away from that and do that no more. We just confess right now, Lord, any sin that is on our heart, that's in our mind, because we want to be blameless before you, not just so that we have the financial blessing, Lord, but because we know that we want to be blameless in your sight. And, Lord, I do come before you, Lord, as well. And I ask forgiveness for any time that we haven't worked enthusiastically, or we haven't been faithful with the small that you've given us, or the times that we've hidden behind our text message or our Facebook instead of working enthusiastically for you and being on fire to build your kingdom. Lord, I praise you and I thank you that Kimberly is being set free. Lord, I thank you that you're working in her and working from the inside out. Lord, I pray that you will help her to be faithful and move forward. We praise you, Lord, that you will continue to strengthen and heal her, and that you will help her to press toward that mark with even greater joy. Increase her joy. We know that our joy comes from you. And Lord, I pray that you will just give her wisdom and direction and discernment as she goes through making major decisions in the next little bit, Lord. And Lord, I praise you for all that you're doing in Judy's life, and just that you even have the birds sing to us in the morning and sing praises to you and just let us worship with them as well. Lord, you even tell us that the rocks would cry out if we wouldn't praise you. So I thank you that we could hear her bird just chirping away this morning. And Lord, I just praise you that you're doing amazing things once she finally got out of your way. Lord, for all of us, thank you for that reminder. Help us to get out of your way, to seek only you. Lord, we ask forgiveness if we've ever had pride rise up, or we've just tried to do our own thing and even put ourselves, our businesses, our work, our life as an idol before you. We want to serve you with our whole hearts. And Lord, you know that Simeon's not feeling well this morning. We rebuke the enemy of sickness and disease in Jesus' name. We rebuke the spirit of infirmity. We call forth healing in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you would help her to receive her healing and that she will overcome even today. And Father, our hearts are heavy for this family. You know that her friend has gone on to be with you, Lord, but she left a beautiful young family here. A husband, Lord, that's filling in the gaps for mother and father and missing his own wife, his soulmate, his partner. Lord, I ask that you would be there for them. You tell us that you will be the husband to the husbandless and you will be the father to the fatherless. So, Father, I just pray, I know that you will do this as well, that you will strengthen them and make them feel the love of their mother as they go through this very first holiday, that you will strengthen them and give them peace, that you will just have tangible, loving arms wrap around them, and that you will have your spiritual arms around them. And we call forth your ministering angels to minister peace and love and joy to them, and that they would be protected, put a hedge of protection around them. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you that you've given us your clear instructions on how to be prosperous. Lord, help us to be faithful and rightly dividing your word, that we would be always drawing closer and closer to you, Lord, that we would have a desire to fellowship with your people and be like-minded, and remember that when two or three are gathered in your name, that you're there as well, and you promise to give us what we ask, Lord. Help us to be faithful and work heartily as unto you, Lord. Help us to believe and that we can expect that we receive the moment that it is prayed for, and to continue to praise you and water that seed until we see that fruit come to pass. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the tithe and the ability to give back to further your kingdom, and that you promise so many blessings when we do that. And Lord, we ask that if there's areas that we're living outside of our means, that you would show us that, and we would be faithful about living within our means and serving and being able to give and give to your kingdom. We praise you, we love you, we glorify you. And Lord, I pray a blessing upon each and every person that's listening to this, that you would bless them abundantly more than they could ever ask, think, dream, or imagine, that they would know in the core of their being that you've given them a hope and a future. And Lord, that you will bless them as they come in and as they go out, that you would bless them abundantly, Lord, and that they would be faithful with all that you've given them, and that they would draw close to you. They would crawl up into your lap, Abba Father, and you would wrap your arms around them and embrace them. That they would not fear, that they would have boldness in spirit, that favor would go out before every host, every customer, every business partner, every business deal. And Lord, that you want people to do business with them, and they would just know in their heart of hearts, and they would actively seek those people that want to do business with them, because we know that you're bringing financial blessing from the north, the south, the east, the west, and you've given them the ability to create wealth. We call forth big accounts. We call forth big sales, big shows, influential leaders to come and join their teams. We praise you and we thank you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everybody. I will be watching for more prayer requests to come over on the Christian Direct Seller Facebook page, and know that I'm here for you. I love you, and I'll be praying for you each and every day this week. And God loves you. Bye now.